Molly Sommerhalder is the founder of Swan in the Lotus Yoga and Wellness. You just heard her leading an apothecary yoga class with herb meditations led by Kyle Denton. Denton is the co-owner of Tippecanoe Herbs in Bayview, where the latest apothecary yoga session was held before social distancing was mandated. Before the class, he joined Lake Effect's Audrey Nowakowski in studio to talk about his work as a community herbalist.
I started studying herbal medicine through a field called Ayurveda, which is from ancient India. And in Ayurvedic medicine, that means the science of life. There's body work. This is where yoga came from. There's all kinds of lifestyle things, but there's also herbalism there. And the herbs from the Ayurvedic tradition are awesome. They're wonderful, but they come from India. And I am really interested in plants that are growing locally and growing around. So I had this tradition in the framework of Ayurveda that I would start to learn about these plants that we have locally as a forager and apply that framework of Ayurveda. So then after that, I started studying a tradition of Western herbalism with some teachers, and I kind of combined the two, what East and West versions. And so I have my own version of herbalism at this point.
When it comes to combining ancient models of herbalism to your modern-day community model, where do those intersect, and what did you find to be the sweet spot for you?
I think that the ancient models have a really interesting and easy way for a layperson to understand. We use energetic words, words that people often use to describe their conditions. For example, hot, cold, damp, dry. You have a cough. Does that cough feel wet? Does it feel more damp? Does it feel more dry? Things like that. And we can use those same words, and those words are different in Ayurveda. They're Sanskrit words, but we could use those words and we can taste herbs and we can understand exactly how they work by the flavor that they give. Are they hot herbs? Are they cold? Are they cooling herbs? Are they moistening herbs? And so on and so on. Are they herbs that help us relax? So that's something I think that is really easy for people to understand, because it brings an old knowledge into a modern mind just by the simple language.
People who are not very familiar with probably incorporating herbs into their everyday life outside of cooking with them. So when it comes to modern day herbs, what forms do these medicines take?
Well, modern herbs, they can be processed into pharmaceutical drugs. As a matter of fact, many of them, pharmaceutical drugs, are derived from constituents of plants. But what I normally work with is whole herbal medicine. So that's the whole plant that has either been dried or is used fresh. And so in the dried case, I would make an herbal tea, which we call in America, but another word would be tisane. And that's just something that you steep in water and drink it. Wow, that's good. That's easy. Into something that's a powdered herb, such as a churna, it's called. I like to call it. That's the Ayurvedic word for it. And those could be easily put into like a smoothie, or you could think about matcha and adding things like that to it. And then there's some other ways that you can preserve herbs. So this is just drying herbs, but preserving them in alcohol or in vinegar or making a syrup with them. And in the cases of these, you're using the solvent, the alcohol, or the vinegar to actually improve the way that it draws out the minerals, the way that it brings out many of the plant constituents and puts it into a solution. So it's much more potent that way too. But you can use them as, let's say, medicinal elixirs, but you can even just put herbs into a vinegar and use it as a salad dressing. And still, if you're comfortable using it as food, that's really the best way to use herbs, is the way that you're comfortable and the way that you're familiar using them.
And what's a tincture?
A tincture means, it comes from the Latin word tinct, which is the word dye, D-Y-E. So it means to stain the menstruum or to stain the solvent. And nowadays it refers to an herb that's been extracted in alcohol. But a tincture is, when it's extracted in alcohol, it's got a very shelf-stable life. It can last for 10 years, and it's something that people normally take by the drop, 10 to 15 drops or something like that.
So you mentioned you can have these herbal medicines through tea, powders, tinctures, there's salves, oils, syrup, vinegars. So outside of drying herbs and using them in those forms, what is your process in creating the other forms of herbal medicine when it comes to the syrups, the vinegars? You know, where do you source your herbs? Is the herbs you use to practice in your work considered different than what I myself may find in a grocery store?
It doesn't have to be. I use herbs that are from culinary herbs into medicinal, much more medicinal, maybe rarer herbs. But I definitely encourage people to find herbs from the farmer's market. That's where I like to work, the farmer's market or the grocery store, and say, oh, look at this bundle of rosemary. It's in season. It's so nice. I think I'll take this home and make it, put it into some boiling water and add some sugar, and I'll have a rosemary syrup, and I can add that to some sparkling water and have, you know, a version of a soda that's really good for my mind and my lungs and has the familiar scent of rosemary. It can be like that, or we can use, but if it's something that somebody wants to do for their mind and lungs and they want to look at some interesting herbs and go from there, that's a different process too. But I basically do that same process. I do the same thing. I like to be creative. I like to find what's in season. I like to support the local farmers that are around here. And I like to use fresh herbs that I get from my garden just like anyone else would.
You mentioned that herbal medicine isn't yet FDA approved in things in the West. Where do you think people's main conceptions or misconceptions is of herbal medicine? And where are we in the stages of moving towards that FDA seal of approval or someplace where it's something that can be turned to right away versus being viewed with skepticism?
I invite skepticism with anything in this world, including your health, and taking that in and asking questions. That's something that I hope is the future, not necessarily the approval of any departments. However, it's my hope in the future that the herbal medicine community will continue to be in its form that it is now, not under the control of the FDA. And the reason why is because it is very accessible to people. It becomes something that you can go into your garden and you can make some medicine for yourself and your family. And I can do that too. And we can do that without the fear of doing something illegally. And I think that people are coming to herbal medicine because they are finding that they are less likely to find something accessible for their health, and that they are becoming skeptical of many things. And I think that's a healthy skepticism. And I really want to help the community find their comfort in working with herbs on their own as lay people. And that's my role.
So do you think it's really just a matter of bridging the educational divide, getting people aware and more knowledgeable of what this can do for them?
Yeah, I do. We know of, you know, grandparents or great-grandparents who used this ointment, or they went out and picked this plant. And it seems that everybody had that family, that person in their family, but it wasn't just that person. It was everybody. There was a time not too long ago, a couple generations ago, that everyone seemed to have this knowledge, and it's gone. And so I think it is kind of an important part of being human, is to interact with nature and understand that and just really, you know, bring that back again and not have to do it in a professional way or in a way that people feel pressured, but in a way that they can do so in that honors the plants and nature and the earth at the same time.
So do you think things like the apple cider vinegar trend comes to my mind? Have you noticed a pattern of these basics of herbal medicine just kind of having a popular resurgence?
Yeah. So when it comes to, and maybe getting back to an earlier question, there is a lot of marketing. There's a lot of hype. There's a lot of people that are interested in exploiting this particular time period where people are interested and curious and maybe even a little scared. And they're using words like superfoods, and these things can only be exotic and you can only get them from this farm in Peru or something like that. And that's not really good for our local economy. That's not good for the local land. And so apple cider vinegar, it's been around for a long time. It's really safe. It's apple peels that have been fermented. It's basically turning something that you may have just composted into another product again that's actually helpful for your gut. It's fun to make on your own, but I agree that I think that there's, there's a little bit of that trend of people
Because then it kind of causes people to look at products like these, kind of like, oh, are you a snake oil salesman kind of deal?
Yeah, right. And it's like, which one has the shiniest label? Which one has the coolest bottle cap and things like that? And there's a lot of that going on. I agree. Yeah.
What do you think works on your end in the herbal medicine side to combine it so well with the practice of yoga?
Yoga and herbal medicine were born together. It was herbal medicine that was created for the yogis back in the early days of Ayurvedic medicine 5,000 years ago to keep yogis alive long enough so that they can master their practices and master their work. And so they really feel comfortable together. They've evolved together over the years. But now, when people are moving and they are becoming aware of their present body in time, and they also seem to have that goal to want to understand how the herbs would affect them as well. And the thing about herbs is that when you're, just like with yoga, when you're breathing, when you're mindful, when you're quiet your mind, you can feel the way that the herbs move through you, just as you could feel the way the energetic movements of the asana practices in yoga work as well.
You mentioned earlier that you can use everyday herbs that you find at a farmer's market for other purposes. I'm wondering, what's one herb that you think is a great starter for people to look at a little differently? And do you have a suggestion of how to use it differently for an herbal medicine practice?
Well, normally I say coffee because most people don't regard coffee as an herbal medicine. Of course, it changes the way that you think. It changes your perception. It changes your mood. And it's certainly a herb that came from a plant. A lot of people don't remember that. And they're like, oh, yes, that's right. But I think that maybe a better answer would be, since the summertime is on the way and people are growing things, how about something easy in the mint family, like peppermint or lemon balm or lavender, something that grows easy in the garden that you can easily cut and make into some pesto in the case of lemon balm, and also tea. You'll find the more that you study that there's antimicrobial and antiviral properties to these plants. You'll find that they're good for an array of digestive issues, and you might even become a friend of the plant and start to spread it around like Johnny Appleseed or something.
Well, Kyle, I want to thank you today for enlightening us a little bit more about herbal medicine.
It's been my pleasure, Audrey. Thank you.
Kyle Denton is the co-founder of Tippecanoe Herbs in Bayview. He and fitness instructor Molly Sommerhalder lead apothecary yoga sessions, which are currently on hold until further notice. This edition of our monthly Fit for You conversation was recorded before social distancing was mandated. We'll take one last break, then we'll bring you the latest Milwaukee Music Roundup with Milwaukee Record. You're listening to Lake Effect on Milwaukee's NPR.